It's early afternoon, shortly after the close of our last episode, as Perry Mason enters the huge residence of Suzanne Barclay's mother, follows the servant to Mrs. Barclay's drawing room.
Hello, Mr. Mason. Miss Street.
Hello, Mrs. Barclay.
Oh, please, don't stand, Mrs. Barclay.
I don't mind standing, Mr. Mason, but I'll sit down if you will.
Thank you.
May I offer you some refreshment?
No, no, thank you. Lieutenant Halverson spoke to your brother.
Halverson? Is that the lieutenant's name?
Yes, Donald Halverson.
What a pleasant name. It's quite important for parents to give their children pleasant names.
Yes.
We've thought of many different names before naming our daughter Suzanne. But it doesn't matter now.
Please, Mrs. Barclay.
Oh, forgive me. Forgive me if I'm rude, Mr. Mason. But why did you come here? Your coming here doesn't matter. Nothing matters.
You think Suzanne is dead?
Yes, Mr. Mason, I do.
Mrs. Barclay, we have every reason to believe that she is alive and well.
But the lieutenant told my brother you didn't find her. He said... What did you learn, Mr. Mason?
Suzanne went to Smithville when she ran away. We picked up her trail there and followed it long enough to learn that she is alive and well. We went as far as we could go because... Well, something happened to destroy the trail. Now we must try something else. We have to give Suzanne a reason to come forward.
Reason?
Yes. A reason for her to come at least part way out of hiding. Mrs. Barclay, suppose Suzanne reads that you have been killed in an automobile accident.
What?
Suppose we stage a fake accident with your car. And suppose the papers carry the story of your death. And suppose we go ahead and plan a funeral. She'd come to your funeral, Mrs. Barclay.
No.
I think she would. Well, she might come in a disguise, but she would be there. Suzanne loves you. That's why I have come to you.
You don't know what you're asking, Mr. Mason, but I do know. Of course my daughter loves me. How can you expect me to hurt her by pretending I've been killed? She's alive. She's well. Don't ask me to hurt her anymore.
Yes, it will cause her pain. But when she comes forward and we make her understand she's not without friends...
I won't do it, Mr. Mason.
Well, I didn't want to tell you this.
What?
You remember Gus, the man who frightened Suzanne into hiding?
Yes.
Gus is still searching for Suzanne. A moment ago, I said something happened in Smithville, something that stopped our search. Now I'll tell you what happened. Gus killed a woman.
Mr. Mason.
That woman gave him information about your daughter. Perhaps she even told him where Suzanne is at this moment.
No.
We do know she told him something of importance because he killed her. Now, whatever information that woman gave to Gus is gone forever. But Gus knows it. He'll find Suzanne before we do unless we take action. He'll find her and he'll kill your daughter just as he killed that woman in Smithville. We're dealing with a warped, twisted man, Mrs. Barclay. And none of us wants to hurt Suzanne. If there were some other way, I would not suggest this. Hello. Get Lieutenant Halverson on the phone for me.
Right, Chief.
I know what your answer will be, Mrs. Barclay, because I know you love Suzanne.
Hello.
Please save time by giving your consent now, Mrs. Barclay.
All right, Mr. Mason.
You understand that you will have to help
me. Yes, I understand.
It's Perry Mason. He's down the line, Perry.
Oh, thank you, darling. Oh, Halverson. Listen, we're going ahead. Now, have you a man who has trick driving experience? Well, we'll have to plan it out in detail, and we've got to do it quickly. Wait, what? No, I just spoke to Mrs. Barclay. She's willing to do whatever she can.
Meanwhile, in the newspaper building of the Daily Blade, columnist Jake Jacobson pauses outside the office of his editor, straightens his coat, fixes a bright smile on his face, and then...
Yeah? It's me. me, Arch.
Jake? Come in, Jake.
Ah, how you doing, Arch?
Just fine. Have a chair.
Thanks.
Say,
hey, Arch...
what were you going to say?
No, you go ahead, Arch.
Thanks. Guess who I was just talking to. Mr. Porterfield.
Oh, our publisher.
Yeah, that's right, Jake, our publisher. And guess what we were talking about?
You tell me.
You. We're mighty proud of you, Jake. Mr. Porterfield and I are mighty proud of the way your column has taken hold.
Well, thanks, Archie.
Yeah, that's the only reason I was able to talk him into sending you and Helen to Bermuda.
Archie,
remember last week when you came in here with that brainstorm? When you were all hot and bothered to go to Bermuda? Expenses paid for you and your wife?
Yeah, I remember, Archie.
Yeah, I was beginning to wonder. You'll never know how I had to talk to get Mr. Porterfield's okay.
I appreciate that, Arch, but...
This in criticism, you understand. But Mr. Porterfield is not a fast man with a dollar. In fact, he isn't very fast with a nickel. Have you ever heard a buffalo scream in pain when he's squeezed too tight? I'm only joking, you understand. But Jake, I'm not joking now. In order to get his permission to send you and Helen to Bermuda, I had to sell him on the idea. I had to make believe I thought it was a great idea, see?
Uh-huh.
So naturally, I was a little excited when you mentioned you changed your mind about going. I didn't know you were kidding. Not at first. I thought you were serious. You were just kidding, weren't you, Jake?
Arch, the trip's off.
You tin-plated jerk. I took you under my wing when you were so wet behind the ears, your hat kept sliding off. I made a columnist out of you, Jake. I've lent you dough. I'm godfather to your little baby boy. How will your little baby boy feel when he grows up and learns his daddy stabbed his best friend in the back?
Archie, you're breaking my heart.
Jake, boy, friendship means something to you.
Archie, you're my pal.
You bet I'm your pal through thick and thin. I know friendship means as much to you as it does to me, Jake.
Yeah, I know something that means more to you. Arch, I got a good reason for calling off this trip.
Yeah? Story, Jake? Huh? Why didn't you say so?
Yeah, well, why didn't you give me a chance? I spoke to Mr. Perry Mason this morning.
Yeah? Well, keep talking, Jake.
Well, he's working on a big case.
I didn't know.
Well, it's undercover.
Well, but we're going to break it, huh?
Well, only part of it, and only in a certain way. If we help Mr. Mason now, we get the complete story later on.
You're telling me I can't give Mr. Porterfield a rundown?
All right, that's the way it's got to be.
Okay, Jake. Whatever you say.
All right, no kidding. Mason's own life would be in danger if the whole story gets out now. Mason's and some other people.
Okay, Jake.
Promise?
Yeah, I promise. But what am I going to tell Mr. Porterfield?
Oh, you think it's something.
You got any bright ideas?
Well, just tell him I'm not going to Bermuda. You're not afraid of him, are you?
Not afraid of the publisher? Not afraid of the boss? Hey, you slaney. Give me Mr. Porterfield's office.
You going to tell him now?
Yeah. Every minute I put it off will make it that much worse. Oh, Mr. Porterfield, this is Archie. Yes, sir. I just wanted to tell you, Jacobson isn't going to Bermuda. He's got another idea. Yes, sir.
That all there was to it?
Yeah.
You look like somebody hit you with an axe.
What do you mean? I know how to handle Mr. Porterfield. Excuse me. Hello? Oh, yes, Mr. Porterfield. Now, yes, sir. You understood me correctly. Jacobson isn't going to Bermuda. Well, yes, sir. I know I told you I thought it was a good idea. Yes, sir. When I told you it was my idea, yes, sir. Yeah, but Mr. Porterfield, but...
Well, you heard how Perry Mason plans to make Suzanne Barclay come forward. And as you can guess, there'll be action and excitement in the immediate future. So, by all means, join us on Monday, won't you?